This podcast on Sports360AZ.com is brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers. We appreciate the Valley Hyundai dealers and their support.
Now, the Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Tuesday. We have, a fun show today. We have Michael Fabiano with us from the NFL Network. And I'm really looking forward to having Jen Bellinger on. In fact, I'm looking at her promo right now, and we got to put that in there. Espo's little promo that he does. I'm fired up to have Jen Bellinger with us today because this is a good story. Mother of Dodgers rookie sensation Cody Bellinger, right here in the Valley. We'll have Jen Bellinger with us coming up at 10:35. Things that we do here are a little different than what you're used to, and that's fine. If you just found us for the first time, we partner with AZ Central Sports. Appreciate the partnership with them. Our website is sports360az.com. Our television show tonight on Fox Sports Arizona. We have 16 airings this week, and we appreciate our partners for being on board with us. We're brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers. Appreciate their support. This is one of those shows where there's so much to get to today around Phoenix and around the state. I mean, there's just so many things. I think the Kyrie Irving, David Griffin commenting on Kyrie being unhappy in Cleveland is fascinating. I think the Dodgers and Diamondbacks, even though the Dodgers have a big lead on the Diamondbacks, Diamondbacks are trying to be in the spot for the wild card. There's a lot to get to there. Obviously, the Cody Bellinger homecoming is a cool story. That'll be everywhere tonight. The Cardinals are going to have their starters go 15 plays against the Raiders on Saturday. But I want to start with Blake Barnett. I don't know if you guys have heard or seen Blake Barnett at this point in his run at Arizona State. He has not been on the field other than at practice. They have not had a game, obviously. He came over here from Alabama as a highly touted transfer quarterback. In some really good journalism, I think, on the part of ESPN, there were two quarterbacks that left Alabama this last year, two of them. And both of them decided to go to the Pac-12. One went from Alabama to Utah. The other is Blake Barnett, who is here in Tempe. Blake Barnett, though, is not very happy with what's gone on since he's left Alabama with their head coach, Nick Saban. Let's go into this. Blake Barnett said he thinks that Saban's plan all along was to have Jalen Hurts as their quarterback in 2016. Let me fill you in on something. That's how it works. Coaches are always going to try to keep quarterbacks or any position player as long as possible. This is not something that should be coming out of the clear blue sky. Quoting Blake Barnett, and this story nationally has blown up today. Quote, according to him, I was their guy, he said. Once Jalen went in, I was expecting it. But then he went out for the next series, the next series, the next series. I don't know if anything was communicated correctly. The other quarterback said, well, long as this kid, Cooper Bateman, who's now up at Utah. Cooper Bateman said, long story short, I was just as surprised as everyone else. It wasn't really how it was told to me it was going to be. How things were communicated. There was a lack of communication. I knew I didn't want to be involved with that anymore, but fortunately, that was the first game of the season. 12, 13 more to go. I put my head down, battled through it. I knew that after the first game, I didn't really want to be part of it anymore. So both quarterbacks have left the program. We have a little bit of footage here that we'll get to later in the show, a little bit later in the show. Both quarterbacks have left the program. Barnett went to the Sun Devils. He's battling the incumbent, Manny Wilkins, for the starting job. Bateman's up in Utah, where there's three guys going at it. Blake Barnett, though, Nick Saban, quote, on one side of it, there's a lesson to be learned in terms of commitment, but on the other side of it, there's an understanding of a player wanting to improve his opportunities. This was Nick Saban at Media Day. He was much more harsh once Barnett left last season. So here we have this quarterback at Arizona State that is just trying to get himself out on the football field. I'm up at Camp Tonnezona on Saturday, and there's people on the sideline, and I don't make too much out of scrimmages. I just don't, especially in poor field conditions at the end of a week. I'm not going to get too high or get too low off of it. At the end of the day, Todd Graham wants to have competition at quarterback. At the end of the day, I don't think you bring in a big, high-profile quarterback like Blake Barnett and not have him get on the field. To me, it would be a stunner, an absolute stunner, if Manny Wilkins was the quarterback at Arizona State by the first week in October. And that's just reading tea leaves and trusting people over there whose opinions I really do respect and not getting all wound up at Camp Tonnezona, where neither quarterback, I thought, looked especially good. Tough field conditions up there and all that stuff. But if you have a quarterback on your roster that's questioning Nick Saban, is it that this quarterback really doesn't quite get what's going on? Does he have too high of an opinion of himself? Or is it that Nick Saban's a blowhard like most coaches are? I mean, like, Eric, you're a big college football guy, and when you're sitting there seeing Blake Barnett as a headline story across our country today, I mean, where are you at on this one?
I thought when I saw the story this morning, I was like, that can't be Blake Barnett. And I clicked on it. Then sure enough, in the second paragraph, there's Blake Barnett's name. Yeah, like you said, Brad, this is the life of college football. And the problem that these quarterbacks have, especially ones that go to ASU and other schools that have a number of quarterbacks, only one can play. And there's only going to be really one starter. Yeah, you're going to have guys that come in and play in the Wildcat and things like that. But Nick Saban made the right choice. I mean,
it's pretty obvious early on. Jalen Hurts was the guy.
Yeah, hey, I'm sorry, Blake Barnett. Maybe Nick Saban knew about Blake Barnett and what kind of quarterback Blake Barnett was long before Blake Barnett knew what kind of quarterback Blake Barnett is or is going to be.
Okay, so if you're Todd Graham and you see this story, it's kind of like LeVar Ball, you know? If you guys are thinking that LeVar Ball is the only guy who's way, way, way out there, then you really don't, you're not around. I'm not being critical of you. It's just there's 100 LeVar Balls out there. There's thousands of them. I see them at the high school level. I get the notes from the crazy dad who wants us to do stuff on their kid, and the kid doesn't really like football. Okay? It's just LeVar's taking it to a whole new extreme, a whole new level. And so there's players that just have the expectation that because I did this in high school, or I was at this camp, or I was at that camp, then I must be better than. So if you're Todd Graham and you see the situation that you have here right now today, here's a quarterback that spoke out about his frustration at Alabama. And now he's on your roster. And presently, he's not the starting quarterback. I don't know if you heard my rant at the start, but I'm of the opinion he will be the starting quarterback by, I'm thinking by the end of September.
Maybe.
No, I'm feeling pretty good about that one, actually.
Okay.
Now, I haven't seen it. But
neither have I, to be honest with you.
I mean, what I saw at Camp Tonnezona was not anything.
No.
No, there was nothing there that was like, wow, this is great. Does this make Blake Barnett look like kind of a baby?
A little bit. I just wonder why are you bringing this up? You are at another school on the other side of the country in another quarterback battle at a brand new school, and you're talking about how Nick Saban treated you almost a year ago. I mean, the USC game was the first game of the year at Jerry World, so we're coming up, 11 months ago, 11 and a half months ago?
And if you don't get on the field here at ASU?
That's going to look even worse.
It's going to look even worse, yeah. Right? So, and you know, the few that are really into ASU football to start this year, and you guys know that there's just, in this market, there's not a whole lot of buzz about what's going on in the colleges this year. I think both of them, you can make the argument, very easy argument. If ASU gets a pass rush and their secondary won't be that bad, and they've got guys up front that would give them a very good pass rush if, in fact, they're able to come through there, okay? So you can make that argument that their secondary won't be as bad because they'll get a pass rush and they've got some guys that are finally ready to come through in a big way. Okay, I've heard that. At U of A, you can make the same argument that, you know what, they've got Brandon Dawkins and he's pretty darn good and he's looking very good this year. And look at how they just destroyed ASU last year. it's reaching and hoping. And I'm not talking about the Wildcats on this one as much as I'm talking about ASU. Fans are going to want to see Blake Barnett on the field. If Blake Barnett comes out and goes 12 for 28 and they don't win games, then he's making himself, he's put a target on himself by even addressing this, is my point. Both of them have. You know, the other kid who's up at Utah is running third string right now. I think of the two, Barnett's in a better situation, but there's no win to going after Nick Saban. So that's kind of interesting today. The Kyrie Irving story. So now I'm watching David Griffin yesterday up on the jump on ESPN. So David Griffin, I go all the way back to David when he was an intern with the Suns, and he used to ask me, do you need a parking pass? And you can pick up your credential at the front door, and hey, Brad, how are your wife and your kids? And now he's, you know, he's there with Cleveland, and now he's blown out, and he leaves in a way that he comes across as looking as the bigger guy, right? And he's doing the very smart thing by putting himself out in public and doing some media and being on some shows. And he addressed the Kyrie Irving story. I'll tell you, and Eric and I were talking about this morning, I feel like the Suns are going to get in the room with Kyrie Irving. James Jones is a big part of that. If you don't think James Jones is a big part of that, then I'm sorry. There's more than just, hey, Kyrie, come to Phoenix. You have to have people behind the scenes constantly in his ear. I don't know if Cleveland would do the deal the Suns are offering, but I do think for contextual support on this, hearing from David Griffin, his view on how Kyrie has handled the situation by going to ownership and saying, I think it'd be best if I just moved along here from Cleveland. Here's David Griffin.
What's the best solution here between Kyrie and the Cavs?
Well, I think Kyrie's going to end up getting traded. But I think what Ron was saying is really unfair to Kyrie. I don't think this is youth and ignorance. This is a guy who handled this situation exactly like he was supposed to. He went to Dan Gilbert privately, told him that he thought he would be happier somewhere else. The absolute worst thing this guy could have done was pretend to be all in and sink the ship from within. Most guys don't have the courage to do what he did. So that's not youth and ignorance. That's a little bit more courage than people give him credit for. And this is a guy whose list included really good coaching situations.
Right.
Brad Stevens and Popovich. This is the guy who recruited LeBron Hayward and a host of other free agents when he decided to sign and stay in Cleveland. And all of a sudden, LeBron came back.
Right.
So he was sold a totally different situation than he's actually in, and he worked very well in. He won a championship in, and I see this as him looking for a fit for himself now to take the next step in his career.
Okay, so that's coming right from the guy that was the GM of the Cavaliers, very inside baseball, is not going to sit there and sugarcoat it, is not going to reach and say, you know, A plus B equals C. He's just going to lay straight line, and here's what went down. And that he's a good guy and that he's handled this all in the right way. Like the fact that you have a guy like LeBron James, who would not want to play with LeBron James? Well, Kyrie Irving's the first one that said, yeah, I don't really want to play with this guy. I want to go blaze my own trail, take my own path. It comes back to Phoenix. We've argued over this. We've debated over this. What is it that the Suns can possibly offer to attract to bring Kyrie Irving here with a couple of years left on his deal? What are the downsides to Kyrie Irving? He doesn't play great defense. If I'm Robert Sarver, I don't care. I actually finally have somebody marketable, very marketable. And don't give me Devin Booker. Devin Booker's a very good player. Kyrie Irving's one. He's at the highest level. Don't give me, though, well, is it Devin's team or Kyrie's team? I think that is guys like us sitting behind microphones just trying to parse something out rather than let's go get the best five and put them on the floor. When I get people that say, look, the Suns, all they have to do is trade Bledsoe, the Miami one, Brandon Knight and TJ Warren, and we'll have a deal. Those are people that will never be general managers. Okay. Those guys will never come into play. Brandon Knight could be of value because that contract, when it expires, such a big number, when it's over, that contract will be of value down the road. But you can't trade a bag of rocks to get Kyrie Irving to come here. And so I'm of the opinion, I've been very much straightforward on this. I will trade Bledsoe without a problem. I've been wanting Bledsoe traded for 2 years, finally, mercifully. And this isn't anything personal. It's just he doesn't fit with what they're doing here long term. He hasn't fit the last couple of years. They were very smart in saying, we're going to sit you down because we don't want you to get hurt again. We can't have you go under the knife again. So if you put this together and you have Bender and you have Chris and you choose between one or the other and you're able to keep Josh Jackson and you're able to keep Devin Booker and you bring Kyrie Irving here and you have one of those two, I think you're going to be just fine. The issue is going to be, are the Suns, it's a rookie general manager over there in Cleveland and a somewhat crazy owner, and yet Bledsoe is really tight with LeBron. Are the Suns going to blink on this one and give up Jackson, which they should never do? And to this point, they haven't done it. I don't think they are going to do it. But do they blink on this one? And you look around the rest of the league. I'll take a break after this. The rest of the league, who has a package that is nearly as strong as what the Suns can offer? I mean, seriously. You're going to get Bledsoe's a pretty darn good player. He's one of LeBron's guys. I mean, that should be able to get the deal done, in my view. But really interesting stuff from David Griffin. Michael Fabiano is next, right there on the set at the NFL Network, NFL.com. Senior fantasy analyst, the Hall of Famer, all your fantasy football questions on the other side. Then we'll talk about the Diamondbacks and Dodgers with Jen Bellinger, the mother of Cody. That comes up at 10:35. I'm Brad Sussmat. And now time for Michael Fabiano, NFL Network, NFL.com. Get your fantasy football fix. The questions, the comments, as we're sitting here about the middle part of August. A lot of questions in the mailbag. Yesterday, we put it out on Twitter, and people emailing us, Brad at sports360az.com as well. The questions, though, almost like 8 out of 10 are one of two people, Zeke and Jay Cutler. And you've done Zeke. The suspension hasn't been announced as we're sitting here talking. You've not done Jay Cutler. So let's start with Jay Cutler there, Michael. Let's go down that path of Jay Cutler and answer, like, I don't know, 80% of the questions. Where do you put him?
I have him right on the borderline of, like, QB2, QB3. You know, he had a pretty good season on the field the last time he played with Adam Gase in Chicago, which was 2 years ago. But he was 20th in fantasy points among quarterbacks. So his statistics, when they count, really didn't move the needle from a fantasy perspective. So what you're looking at with Cutler is probably won't be drafted in a 10-team league, probably would be drafted as a QB2 in a 12-team league, and likely to be drafted, I would say, one of the last three rounds. And that's best-case scenario. And I don't know that his value is very much unlike what Ryan Tannehill would have been. I would have projected Tannehill maybe for a few more touchdowns, because I think the Dolphins' offensive coordinators – and Gase would have allowed him to throw the ball a little more often, because one thing that happens with Cutler is that offensive coordinators in the past have sort of reined him in, tried to rein him in a little bit. I think that's what Gase did in Chicago. Mm-hmm. He cut down on his turnovers. His completion percentage was the best he's ever had. So I think that is where Cutler is probably got a little bit of a ceiling, where Tannehill's ceiling was a little bit higher.
Would you take him, Michael, in any league, under any circumstance? Would you touch Jay Cutler?
No, I would. You know, there's a lot of leagues out there where you start two QBs. He's clearly going to be drafted in those leagues. If you are in a league that has a super flex, which is you can start a quarterback, running back, wide receiver, or tight end in your flex position, that is another league where he'll be drafted. But in a standard 10-team league, he's probably not going to be picked, and if he is, again, it will be one of the last three rounds.
Talk with the Hall of Famer, Michael Fabiano. Okay, mailbag, PPR, Evans, Hilton, Dez. PPR, Evans, Hilton, Dez. Which one?
Evans.
PPR, McCoy, Freeman, Gordon, running backs there.
McCoy.
You want to go on a little bit as to why?
Well, McCoy is McCoy. He's one of the best running backs in fantasy football, in an offense that's going to run the ball a lot. I mean, you look at the Bills' rushing attack last year. I mean, Shady McCoy was clearly the man, but Mike Gillisley scored 8 touchdowns behind him. Gillislee now in New England and a potential sleeper, if sleepers even exist in fantasy football.
Right.
But LeSean is fourth right now among running backs on my big board, behind the big three of course, David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell, and Ezekiel Elliott. So that's why I go McCoy. It's close. Gordon clearly is a very good option, especially since the Chargers really didn't add much in terms of the running back position. So he's going to be the featured guy there. But Shady is still my pick between those three.
Cooks or Cooper?
I'm going Cooper. And people might question that because Cooper has had an issue in terms of his touchdown ceiling. He's not been very prolific as a touchdown scorer. But Brandon Cooks, to me, has – and listen, the move from Drew Brees to Tom Brady, heck, yeah, I mean, two of the best quarterbacks in fantasy football history. But there's just so many mouths to feed in New England, I feel like his ceiling took a hit. And so where in New Orleans – he was a top 10 wide receiver last year based on fantasy points. I think this year he falls more into the wide receiver two category, whereas Cooper has a little higher ceiling. And so I'm going to go with him, but those guys are really close in value.
Wide receivers. This is for Michael Fabiano from the NFL Network, NFL.com. The Hall of Famer joins us every Tuesday, preseason, regular season on Sports 360 AZ. Wide receivers at Cleveland, Jets, Chicago. Of those three teams, just a couple people want to know, which guys stand out to you of those three teams?
Well, let's go down. Kenny Britt and Corey Coleman will be drafted in most leagues, and neither one will be drafted as more than a wide receiver four. I wouldn't expect huge numbers, especially considering the offenses and the quarterback situation in Cleveland there. The Jets, wow. I mean, I don't know. I'd have to ask Elliot Harrison, because he's our historian at NFL Network. I don't know that a team has ever entered a season with this bad and inexperienced a receiving corps. You lose Quincy Enunwa. Decker's gone. You know, Marshall's gone.
Yep.
And you're looking at Robbie Anderson. And Robbie Anderson's going to get drafted now. He's going to get drafted late, but he's going to get drafted. Another situation like Cleveland, although it's not as dire, the quarterback situation is a bit of a mess there. And I don't know that anyone else will get drafted. Maybe our Darius Stewart in a deeper league. And then in Chicago, Cameron Meredith is a lock to be drafted, and I think he's a very good sleeper candidate. And Kevin White's going to be picked up too late, although you've heard some issues about his confidence, maybe wavering in Chicago. Maybe that's true, maybe it's not. But because there's some potential volume in terms of targets, White will be drafted. I mean, this guy was a first-round pick a few years ago too, so there's talent there.
A couple other questions for Michael Fabiano, the Hall of Famer. We'll let him go. Kickers defense, as you look at it this year, everybody's focused on what they're going to do with their running backs and their wide receivers, and strategy is get them late with kickers and defenses. How late is always up for debate. If you give just a general overview of what you see kickers and defense this year in your strategies.
Honestly, I barely even pay attention, to be quite honest, because there's leagues where I'm not required to draft either one, and I won't. If I am required to draft those two positions, they'll be my last two picks. I do think that a good kicker can be helpful. Justin Tucker was great last year. Steven Gostkowski before last season was very good. He typically ranked right up there in terms of points with the tight ends, the best tight ends. But it's still a position where guys come out of nowhere every single year. You know, Will Lutz last season for the New Orleans Saints. And defenses, I mean, unless you're getting the Chiefs or the Broncos, Patriots, the Texans, the Vikings, even those defenses aren't worth more than maybe a late round pick or a next to the last round pick. That I would prefer to play the matchups every single week, and oftentimes I'm going to end up getting a defense off the waiver wire that gets hot, like the Chiefs last year. So those two positions are the two positions that you really need to not concern yourself with until the last two picks. And again, if you're not required to draft the position, I wouldn't. And then once week one comes, pick a couple of people up off the waiver wire in favor of some players that maybe you drafted that aren't going to help you right away.
I'll let you go off that. Appreciate your time and insight as always. Thanks, Michael.
All right, my friend. Take care.
Good talking to Michael Fabiano there. Michael joins us every week right there on the set of the NFL Network. and, of course, NFL.com. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Tonight, Brad Sesmat Football AZ is on Fox Sports Arizona. We have 16 airings this week. Check out our television show over on Fox Sports AZ. We'll be back with more after this timeout. Now, I know the Diamondback fans have been giving me a hard time here in the last 24, 48 hours when I've been pointing out that this is going to be a Dodger convention tonight, Wednesday, Thursday at Chase Field. And then it's going to be followed by a Cubs convention this weekend. But that's just a fact. It's a good time to be a Diamondback fan in that you're in a wild card race. That's fine. But the Dodgers are 16 games up on you. So you know what it's going to be like there. And add to that, you have Cody Bellinger playing at home for the first. I mean, his home's L.A. now, but this is where he grew up. And so we have a repeat performance by Jen Bellinger, the mother of Cody. She was great the first time that we had her on, and so let's have her on again. The rookie sensation will be on the field tonight along with the Dodgers. Jen Bellinger with us. Hi. How are you, Jen?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. So as Cody played, I'm assuming Hamilton must have had a game at Chase Field or two. Has he played there before?
Yeah, that's actually funny. We talked about it last night when we went to dinner. Yes, actually, he played two games with Hamilton at the Diamondbacks field.
And did he ever hit one in the pool?
Nope.
Did he have good success, nope. Jen? Did he have good success?
You know, the funny thing is he actually pitched, I think, at one of those games, too. So, you know, he did pitch a little bit in high school. But, yeah, I mean, I think they enjoyed playing there and they had some good success there.
So it's been, April 25th he was called up, right? 25th, 26th, thereabouts. And as you've sat there and you were at the All-Star game, you've seen all these moments, all these numbers that have rolled up. Is tonight going to be any different, though, hometown, watching your son out on the field?
You know, obviously I've been thinking about that. The first time Cody ever stepped on Diamondback Field, he was actually a Little League kid. You know, they do the Little League night.
Yeah.
The Diamondbacks bring those kids in, the local, you know, community thing, which I think is great for the kids to actually get on a big league field. And they kind of parade in the outfield, and they're not allowed to touch the grass. You know, they're warned. And, you know, they sit out in left field during the entire game and just goof off and, you know, have their gloves and hope to catch a home run ball. I think Eric Burns was in left field or something that time. And so you think about that first time that he's ever been in, at a big stadium like that, and you never dreamed that he'd be doing what he's doing today and coming back and now playing against the Diamondbacks. So, I mean, we talk about how, you know, how obviously coincidental it is that he's been there and he's been on that field, but now it's just a little bit different. I think the energy will be a little different for him.
Yeah.
But knowing Cody, he's humble. He's going to go out there and just play the game like he does every day. Try not to let those outside reminders kind of influence him and either distract him or, you know, maybe even just give him a little bit of extra something to do something special tonight.
Yeah, guys like me walking up to him saying, are you nervous about tonight? Because that's going to happen today, like at 2 o'clock.
I know.
He'll be crowded around his locker and all that. Huh?
He's already said he's not nervous. So, yeah. I mean, but again, who knows what's going to happen when you actually step on the field.
So are you surprised by any of this stuff still? I mean, I asked you that question back in June.
Yeah.
In June I asked you, and you were like, oh, my gosh, Brad, this story just doesn't get any better. It keeps going.
Right.
You know, are you surprised by this?
Yes. I think even he's a little bit surprised, and in a good way, like that you want someone to be pretty humble, you know, going through all this. But it goes beyond humility. I think it's just the level of almost, you know, he's kind of looking at himself going, wow, I had no idea I could do all this either. And, you know, I think you talk to the organizational heads like Logan White when he used to be there and he drafted Cody as a scouting director. He even said, yeah, I saw him being good, but not this good.
Yeah.
You know, even people that are much more knowledgeable in the game have explained that this is pretty special, what he's doing. And, I mean, there's some other guys who are doing some special things out there, too. So, you know, I think that also puts it in perspective that I think that there's just the game's changing a little bit. And some of these kids are coming out a little bit better and stronger and have a better baseball IQ.
Well, and add to that, too, we're talking with Jen Bellinger, the mother of Cody Bellinger, who will be on the field tonight, of course, and Hamilton High School coming back home. Add to that is the team's killing it, right? So they're sitting there with almost 80 wins. Their magic number is 35, I think it is, and we're not even halfway through August. It's just, it's ridiculous what's going on the field. And so he's seeing greatness all around him by his own teammates. This isn't a one-man show. I've seen that before. Guy does great things, and the team's 40 games out of first place. This is all working together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think what's interesting, too, I've obviously been, you know, in baseball for longer than most people, obviously with my husband playing, and being on the other side of it. So obviously there's clubhouse stuff, there's, you know, on the field stuff, but I'm kind of that also person off the field that kind of sees things from even just the family perspective, the fan perspective. There is just a different energy this year. I said from day one when I met some of these families, they have like, I think, 8 fiancés on this team.
Wow.
When I met even those fiancés, that there's just a different, I told these girls, I don't think you realize how special you guys are, like how special this camaraderie is even off the field. The relationship that the families have together off the field is actually, it's unique. I've been with a lot of teams and a lot of different organizations, even with the Yankees, we had a special relationship with a lot of those families, but to have everybody kind of in the same, just have the same relationship and same energy. I told the girls, I don't think they understand how special this is.
The All-Star game, so is that the highlight to this point for you, or is there a game and at-bat that kind of jumps out even in front of that? The Home Run Derby, obviously, we saw that. Where is that at for you on the list of things so far for your son?
You know, I think for me, it's when he gets – so it's not one specific day. I think when – and it's weird. It's when – the team, like it's a tied game or they're behind by 2 runs, it's the 7th inning, it's the 8th inning, the pitcher's been shutting everyone down. I mean, I kind of joke around. I'm like, I want to see Cody get another at-bat because I think he's going to do something. I think he's going to do something to either get a base hit, walk, do something that's going to help them generate something they need to do to win, whether it's run a ball out on a misplay. It doesn't always have to be a home run. Mm-hmm. But I just know that there's just, you want – so something about Cody being in that place at that right time so far this year is just he's been able to produce. And so I think those are just those moments that you just kind of – that energy you want to see Cody get up that opportunity.
Well, and the numbers don't lie. I mean, he's hit, what, 16 of his home runs. 16 of the 32 have come after the 7th inning or 7th inning and beyond, I should say. I mean, that's right. Nails. That's nails. That's games on the line. And I know the other night he hit a bomb and the game was out of reach at New York, but – most of those home runs are being hit when the game is on the line, and that takes something special.
Yeah, I have to agree.
Mm-hmm. Anything else about tonight you're looking forward to with him?
Oh, well, obviously this is his first chance to play in front of a lot of his friends. A lot of the guys haven't been able to make it out to L.A. basically because they've been in college or circumstantial because of work. And so I think just for him to be able to play, and a lot of his friends will be there, obviously, his, you know, his coaches from the past, whether it be from Little League all the way up to high school, are going to be there. I think just the chance for everybody to actually finally get to see him play in person will be pretty special. And I know for me, that's kind of fun to see because, you know me, maybe the fans don't know, but my heart is that, you know, we obviously have raised him in our home, but it's a community that comes around these kids growing up. I mean, it's his high school coach, it's his Little League coaches, it's his teachers, it's the principal. I mean, there's a community of people that raise these kids, and you only get your kids in your home for a short time a day, and it's everyone else kind of taken over. And just to be able to see those people be able to come and be able to just enjoy that time of watching that kid they've seen grow up, just do what he loves to do.
Are you ticket broker today, Jen?
No, thank goodness.
Because running through that list, you know, I'm guessing, what do you have, north of 200, 300 people tonight? I mean, running through the list of tickets, so, it's got to be long.
You know, luckily, I have to say, again, I think it's just because we're a well-educated community, that the community knows that that can be overwhelming. And our friend group and our family group, they know. And people just shopped out for their own tickets. And just, they're excited to be there as fans. And so they're going to make sure they're there, and they didn't want to bother us. So I have to say, there's been a lot of respect of just not overwhelming us as a family.
Yeah.
You know, and not that that's overwhelming. We want our family and friends to be there. But just, you know, level of respect of, hey, we didn't want to bother you, so we went ahead and got our own tickets.
That's cool.
So, which is, I think, pretty cool. Just, again, it's a very well-educated community. They know better than to just bombard somebody. And I personally appreciate that.
Yeah, that's not always the case. I've seen that happen.
No, and it takes a lot of me trying to play hostess and not being there for my own, family. It actually takes that pressure off, which is really nice.
Yeah. Stay well, have fun tonight. You sound great, and enjoy the ride.
Thanks,
it's
Brad.
Fun. See ya.
All right. Looking forward to it. Thanks. Bye.
Jen Bellinger there, the mother of Cody Bellinger. What a great story that is. I mean, you can't script this stuff. Somebody told me that when he was at Hamilton High School, I did not go back and look this up, but this person would know that he hit one home run his first year. And now you see what he's doing, and it's phenomenal. Zach Godley's throwing it. Zach Godley's been as good as anybody for the Diamondbacks here lately. Back with more after this timeout. I don't know about this North Korea stuff. I mean, I'm glad I'm doing sports today, but if you've not seen on social and just on the news cycle today, North Korea is going a little crazy today, and they have a nuclear warhead that fits inside a missile and has a technological breakthrough, and it can reach Chicago. Other than that, the world's great for today. Let's enjoy sports, shall we? Let's have some fun.
It's good to hear, since I'm going to be traveling to Chicago. And
are you going to Chicago?
48 hours.
You're within range.
Fun. Yeah, great. Thanks.
What are you doing back there?
I'm attending a wedding. My wife's mom's best friend's daughter is getting married.
That's really long.
You follow that?
Do me a favor and drop in and check on the daughter. Just go spy on her. She's like 15. What are you flying into, Midway or O'Hare?
I don't know. Southwest, wherever. Where does Southwest
You
got to
go to Midway.
To?
Yeah, okay, they don't fly into O'Hare. So you're like 10 minutes from her.
Okay.
Just drop in and say, you're a disaster.
How do I get there if we don't have a car? Train?
Uber. Yeah, you'd Uber. So you're going to miss the Cardinal game on Saturday.
I will miss it, but I'll probably be following it a little bit on my phone.
You'll follow it?
Yeah, for the 15 plays.
I think I'm going to go.
Okay.
I'm going to go. 15 plays. By play 16, I might be in the car. No, I'll probably make it to the car by play 20. Make sure those 15 are done. Actually, I've got to stick around on both sides. But then after that, I mean, what is the point? So unless you think I should stay the whole time and really enjoy myself and come back next Monday in fine form.
That's a you decision, not a me decision.
Well, is it going to help the show if I sit through an entire NFL preseason game?
I'll pull a Brad Sesmat. Up to you.
Wow, that's good. That's good.
Up to you.
Yeah, that's got to be a rough one. So 15 plays for the Cardinals and their starters. Back on Blake Barnett, I have a little bit of video from him up at Camp Tonizona. And I'll just give this to you as a little precursor. It's actually video of both Blake Barnett and Manny Wilkins. When you go up to scrimmages, you want to try to get some highlights. And the highlights that we have up there, I mean, there's a few. I mean, it's not like full contact scrimmage when we're able to get some. And yeah, it's fine to see him throw in an ASU uniform. That's Blake Barnett. And he's questioning how Nick Saban handled him. And that is the big national story today. I think that he's going to find out as the season progresses that there's going to be bullseyes on him. He's got to now go out and produce after putting it out there. There's Manny Wilkins doing his thing. And I wouldn't say that either one of them jumped out as anything special at this point of the camp time. I'm not sitting here looking at either one as Sam Darnold or Josh Rosen. Unfortunately, that's going to be the measuring stick within the Pac-12 South this year, is how do Josh Rosen at UCLA and Sam Darnold, both getting Heisman Trophy praise, Heisman Trophy run, versus what's going on at Arizona State and also what's going on at the U of A.
I think there's a lot of pressure on Blake Barnett because he wasn't just a good high school quarterback. He was the top rated 2015 high school quarterback in the nation, a 5-star recruit. He wasn't just, a 3-star kid or a 4-star kid that had a nice prep career.
But again, who gives those stars? Guys that watch a lot of football. Do they miss? Absolutely. Guys in the NFL miss? Absolutely. So he goes to a pressure cooker. It's like Kyle Allen. We like Kyle Allen a lot. But Kyle Allen, from the minute that he decided to leave, when he left and go off to college, it wasn't going to work. Connor Brewer, it wasn't going to work.
But those are completely different circumstances. Kyle Allen was a starting quarterback in the SEC. Connor Brewer was a third string quarterback in the Big 12.
But Kyle Allen had everything against him. The Texas high school coaches never were going to let him succeed down there, right? Would you agree on that, or am I overstating it?
Yes, I agree with you. But if you look at his numbers at Texas A&M, he had pretty good
season
in a third.
Sure, but Kevin Sumlin was not going to get other kids, right?
Right.
The Texas high school guys, let it be known, it's not happening if he's going to – you got to take a Texas quarterback. Connor Brewer.
Which he did.
Which he did.
Now they're both gone.
Right. Which he did. And Connor Brewer, I would say the same situation. You go to Texas, they want a Texas quarterback down there. They don't want a kid from Arizona. These kids don't seem to get that. And I know the whole national thing. Does it work out at Michigan State with Brian Lewerke? It appears it's going to.
We'll see.
But it appears on the surface.
He's going to get a shot. He's going to be the starter. Last year he got a little playing time, got hurt. So this year as a redshirt sophomore, we'll see if he is the guy.
When Ryan Finley went to Boise State and then transferred and then went to what, North Carolina State?
Yep.
Did it work out for him at North Carolina State?
It did.
Okay. So it just depends. When Tyler Shuck leaves Hamilton and goes to North Carolina next year, I don't know if it's going to work out for him or not. But I think if a guy goes into the SEC, Eric, if you go to the SEC, there's just, especially for certain programs, there is a level of, there's eight of you, dude. You don't want to be here. There's the door. See you later. I got Jalen Hurts sitting over here. And I think it worked out just fine for Jalen Hurts. So it's
a Texas quarterback, by the way, who ended up at Alabama. So
did you hear about Josh Rosen today?
I did not.
Josh Rosen took a shot at Alabama today. Headline, Josh Rosen ponders Alabama's success if SAT requirement raised, says football and school don't go together.
I could see him making a comment about this because he is the kind of person that would make a comment about this.
Football and school don't go together, he said, suggesting Alabama would not be successful if the Crimson Tide were to raise the SAT requirements. Now, this story would be that much better if, in fact, Alabama played UCLA. This would be great. In fact, just this headline alone, if you guys want to go schedule a bowl game at some point in time this year, if UCLA has a great season, because we know Alabama's going to have a great season, I would love to see Josh Rosen face Alabama. So Nick Saban's taking some arrows from the Pac-12 today. Took them from Blake Barnett, took them from Josh Rosen. It's interesting stuff. All right, tonight we have the Diamondbacks and the Dodgers, and Zach Godley is going to get the start tonight. We've got this Kyrie Irving, David Griffin story kind of swirling around. And we have the PGA Championship starting up this week at Quail Hollow that I'll be watching. Our television show is tonight on Fox Sports Arizona. Make sure you check it out. 16 airings this week. Brad Sussmat, Football AZ. We appreciate everybody involved on a sponsorship end. We are self-funded. Without our sponsors, doesn't happen. All right. So we appreciate their support and how they're with us in almost 6 years now. Eric Sorensen is always our executive producer, chairman of the board. Jared Nielsen. Enjoy your Tuesday. Thanks for checking out this podcast on sports360az.com, brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers.